The Reverend Kathy Montgomery spoke to us a couple of weeks ago about her personal experience with St. Paul's as we continue to remember, celebrate, and explore St. Paul's Parish as we near our 200-year anniversary. Kathy commented on the experience of discernment to ordained orders in the Episcopal Church. To say the least, Nina, it ain't easy. And nothing is ever guaranteed or certain of those years of preparation and formation, including 3 years away at seminary, where we experience the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows, things that we never experienced or hoped to experience or expected to experience, forms us, as it does all of us. We all had our unique and distinct journeys along this path, and no one was like any other, not exactly. But there is one experience, it seems, that all clergy share and continue to visit with surprising regularity. This arising from one of the many canonical requirements for ordination, and that is clinical pastoral education, or CPE for short. Serving one unit of CPE is 400 hours minimum, day and night, as a representative of the Church of Heaven, of hope and comfort in a hospital, in a clinic, in a hospice, where people are born and die, are treated and healed, desperate for understanding and comfort. So the one universal thread that links all of us is when someone, usually knowing exactly what they're doing and have every expectation of the reaction of the fellow clergy in the room, will ask, can you guess? Say more about that. The worst, though, is, how do you feel about that? How does that make you feel? We spend as much time on the interaction as in the sort it out. Who are you becoming? How has that challenged you? How do you feel about that? I know many of you are cautiously optimistic about the past few weeks, and our hope for the coming months, that COVID-19 is slowly but surely being sorted out through vaccines, time, and space. We may be waking up each day with renewed hope that we are one day closer to not wearing masks, to not socially distancing anywhere, not in a state of fear that we or someone we love may contract the virus and suffer and die. There seems to be a collective sense that the worst may finally be behind us. So how did we get here to this point, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? If we are on this side of the curve of cases and hospitalizations and deaths and statistics of every sort, when did we cross the line of normal to some new normal, to some confidence that we are today emerging into a better day of living? When did we cross that line? I think the universal experience of the virus causing fear and confusion and anger and anxiety, doubt and worry, didn't begin when we each and all heard of COVID-19, or when cases grew exponentially day by day. We crossed that line. We began the new normal when one day we woke up scared. Every cemetery declares and attests to no one gets out alive. Think about that next time you drive by a cemetery. The sun rises on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. All the same, death is not the enemy of the faithful, nor are difficult times from famine to war to poverty to natural disasters to pandemics. It is not proof that God has hit pause on heaven's concern for you, for humanity, for all of creation. Innate enemies of the faithful are more insidious, more destructive than death or health or employment or friendships or joys or sorrows. The enemy of the faithful is fear. The enemy of the faithful is fear. The opposite of faith is not a lack of faith, but fear. In the absence of faith, there is no hope for a better future in which we don't believe that today will be worse than yesterday, and tomorrow we will be worse than today. I am not typically a Bible thumper, doling out quotes to comfort or challenge or correct another Bible thumper's positions. But there are day-to-day quotes that I think we all need to not just think on, but to claim, to grab hold of, to graft into our lives for the most difficult times in life. Our patron saint, Paul, wrote to the church in Rome, "The word is near you, on your lips, and in your hearts. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Anything in there about pandemics, jobs, where you live, how you live, who lives next to you? No, the simple promise is there. It is certain, and it is forever. Our theme from our scripture readings this morning is faithful living, fearless, faithful living in the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, living, breathing, alive. If you believe in your heart and proclaim on your lips that Jesus is Lord and God the Father raised him from the dead, you're saved. No exceptions for you or for failure, regret, or fear. Believe, and you will be. Claim it. Do you believe? Are you saved? If you would hope for more, boy, I'd love to know what you're looking for. Doesn't exist. If you hope that your faith will protect you from the pain and heartache and loss we will experience in this life, you are yet to experience the full and complete comfort and assurance that will get us through this long and troublous life. Looking back over the nearly 2 years of COVID's advance and destruction and disruption, we may ask, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that now? So your homework. Pick one issue, big or small, and before you begin the day, before you get out of bed, as you thank God for one more day in His excellent creation. Pick one issue that you will confront that day, either face to face or something that nags you from behind or that threatens you from before or that awaits you without ever inviting that issue into your life. Pick one Pick one that matters, that concerns you, that affects your waking and sleeping hours. Work it out intellectually and emotionally, spiritually. And remember the promises made. God never said you won't face challenges, difficulties, or disappointments. God only said you will never be alone. How do you feel about that? Amen.